I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I assist women in optimizing their chances of having an empowering and natural birth experience and a nourishing and healing postpartum. I offer holistic birth preparation and postpartum online courses worldwide for the conscious mama wanting to prepare emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually for her birth and for her postpartum. And if you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com. If you had a natural and empowering birth experience that you would like to share with the world, then you can email me at annathespiritualmidwife@gmail.com, and maybe your story will be featured on the Natural Birth Podcast. Now let's dive into today's episode. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Jamie. Jamie is a mum of three from the US. Her first birth was 7 years ago, and at that point, she didn't really prepare for her birth and ended up having a standard medicalized hospital birth with an epidural that gave her negative side effects. When she fell pregnant again, she had a lot of fear about birthing again, but realized what she really feared was the epidural. The second time around, she educated herself and prepared her body, mind, and soul for a natural birth, but still ended up having some medical intervention that, in hindsight, she would have declined knowing what she knows now. Her third Baba was born just a few weeks ago, and she finally had the birth she wanted all along. She had a birth voice the whole way through and spoke up and advocated for herself so that she could have the birth she wanted. It was one of the most incredible and empowering experiences of her life. And today we get to hear all about it. Hi, Jamie, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Anna. How are you?
I'm great. I'm here at 7 p.m. in Sweden, and you're my yesterday over yes. In the morning. or is it early today, maybe? Oh, anyways, I get so confused with the time zones, but
oh, I know.
Blessed is this internet connection that we can have, and we can find times to chat all over the world. So I'm very grateful that you wanted to pop on with me today and share your birth stories.
I'm grateful to be here.
Beautiful. So I know you told me that you're a mama of three, and so you've obviously gone through labor and birth three times. We're going to focus on your latest birth, which was only a month ago. So you're you're really in the midst of your postpartum and in the mama fog and the baby bliss and the healing and the recovery and all of that juicy stuff that I'd love to hear about more later. But before we dive on into this third birth, we will talk about just briefly your first and your second and the progression from maybe having more of a standard birth your first time and then moving towards wanting to have natural and ending up with your third now as well. So
perfect.
With no further ado, let's dive on in, Jamie. Tell us about it.
Perfect. All right, wonderful. So my first birth was 7 years ago, almost eight, and it was definitely more standard in terms of what you would consider the typical American experience, where I didn't even consider not having an epidural because nobody around me had. My mother had all of us. There are four children in my immediate family, and she had us all C-section. And I know she's a warrior to keep having them, even though the complications arose for her. So I had no idea about the natural birthing process, and none of my friends had at all. And so I really didn't prepare too much regarding the birth. I did prepare for breastfeeding, took a class for that, but I didn't focus so much on the birth. I'm a very laid back personality, so I kind of just figured it will work out, you know, and it did. She's here, but I didn't see it for the I didn't see it for what it was that I needed to really prepare. And that's so a regret
though. Yeah. And I mean, it's so common though. This is why we're talking about it too. Like, it's so common that women do think this way, that, oh, you know, it'll be fine. But it's like that, isn't it? You would, if you'd go out and run a marathon, you would prepare for it. And labor and birth is a marathon most of the times. And even if it's a short one, it's still a massive event. And that's just the physical part. Obviously, it's massive emotionally, mentally, and spiritually as well. Yeah.
Definitely. Absolutely. And so her birth went well. I was very, very healthy in the pregnancy. I didn't do prenatal geared workouts, but I did, you know, I ate healthily and I exercised. I worked up right to my birthing time with her. So I was very busy, and sometimes I would miss lunch and I wouldn't drink enough water. But I was just really, really busy and in the full-time working zone. That's something that I definitely pivoted in my future births and focus more on nutrition and exercise. But for her, I went to the hospital. Another regret I have is I was 41 weeks, 3 days. And they asked on this particular day to call to be induced because I was post-dates. And that's just what they, you know, asked me to do. And I didn't know enough about birthing to say, no, my body's doing it, I'm fine. And I was contracting actually every 5 minutes at that point. And so myself now would just not go in to the induction, but myself then didn't know. And I went in and I said, can I just keep laboring? I'm fine. And they said, well, we'll give you 1 hour before we start Pitocin.
Wow.
And I don't know. I don't know why.
It's just following protocols, really. This is the thing when you do enter the hospitals. Every hospital is different. There's different practitioners. Some are, you know, not as rigid with protocols and guidelines and so on. And some are. And it really, this is why it's, you know, I really emphasize like continuity of care, or knowing your care provider, having a good relationship, whether that is an obstetrician or a midwife. Obviously, midwives are trained in the natural birthing process, and the obstetrician is more, you know, is great if you have any kind of risk factors and so on. But you know, it's your choice, and the best thing is to know your care provider and know about their routines, know how they handle things, how rigid are they about this, for example, post-dates business, which again, you weren't actually, you were totally in your due month. So you know, all normal. And so again, you know, it's so normal, your story, that as a first-time mama, you just trust the institutions, your doctor or your care provider. You know, a part of us thinks like, of course we should. But when it comes to the birthing world in our modern days, we actually need to take back the responsibility and sovereignty as women and start learning about what it is that we're saying yes to when we hand over our power. So it's silly business that, you know, there's actually absolutely no medical reason why they would put on Pitocin there at all. You were totally doing something yourself. And, you know, if I was there, I would probably, you know, say, go home and, you know, come back if you, you know, when you feel like you're in there, you seem, you probably would go into labor in the next few hours or days. So, you know, you were obviously already kind of cranking on there. So
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that completely. So I had the routine, you know, epidural after contractions got more stronger, and it really hurt going in, and I could feel the fishing around of the needle, and it was really, really uncomfortable. After pushing was very hard. It was about an hour, a little over an hour of pushing. I was surprised, which is funny to say. I was surprised with how physically demanding pushing was. Being in pretty good physical health and considering myself pretty strong, I was surprised about that. But she came out at 8 pounds, 11 ounces. So she was a bigger babe and healthy. Everything was great. And when they took out the epidural, I started getting extremely sick. And I had had, in hindsight, I learned that it was a spinal headache. And but they didn't do the blood patch. And anyway, so it was about 2 weeks of intense pain, and it was horrific. It was very traumatizing, and I wanted more children. But when I became pregnant with my son, I was very, very scared. And my husband, who happens to be a psychologist, which is a great blessing to my family, but he was talking to me about why I was feeling scared, and it came down to me feeling scared of the epidural. Right. And he said, you know that that's an optional aspect of birth. And I said, is it though? Like nobody I had ever, you know, I had never talked to people who refused the epidural. So in my mind, it was never optional. And so that really started, that question that he posed to me really started me on that path of, wow, this is optional. And it kind of just took a weight off of my shoulders. Like, I don't have to accept this as part of my second child's story. I don't need to have it be the same. And so I researched natural birth, and I really was drawn to hypnobirthing. I'm a visual person, so I really like the aspect of visualizations and relaxation tracks, and all of that really kind of resonated with me. I have really vivid dreams when I remember my dreams, and when I read a book, I'm very visual. And so I took a hypnobirthing class and really appreciated just how much better I was sleeping at night. And I just felt so relaxed, and did a lot of reading about hypnobirthing and natural birthing. And I started just getting really excited about my story being different than my first one. So fast forward to the end, I was 39 weeks and 6 days. So a day before my 40th week. And I had had a bath with candles, just listening to some of my hypnobirthing relaxation tracks. And I got out of the tub to dry off, and I wasn't drying off. And I thought, what's going on? I'm not drying off. And, you know, of course my water had started leaking. Right. And at that point I hadn't even considered that, because I thought it was pretty rare for the water to break before labor. And so I ended up calling the hospital and just saying, you know, hey, I'm fine. I'm, you know, can I just wait out at home for a while? And they said, if you suspect your membranes have ruptured, please just come in to the hospital. And so I was really feeling discouraged, because my contractions hadn't started that I could feel. And I did all the wrong things in terms of, I started dumping the garbages and cleaning so my mom could come. And I really just, the stress response, you know, now I know I had a lot of cortisol starting to pump through my body as I was like, oh no, come on, body, go into labor. And I didn't allow myself to just relax. And so I got to the hospital, and of course, you know, nothing is happening. And they wanted to start Pitocin, and I asked to, you know, please, can I just wait a few hours? So they had me walk around for a few hours and do some nipple stimulation. But at that point I was just so sad and so discouraged. And so none of that was working, to get my contractions going. And now I know all of that is normal to have that wait period before, it starts. That's but crazy. At the time I didn't realize that was so normal.
And again, this is sharing now is gold information for a first time mama, about if this happens to her, you know, this is something that you can explore with your care provider again,
yes,
in your antenatal appointments. You know, what happens if this happens? What is your yes, routine management of this? You know, some will have this new management where, yes, you come in straight away, and you know, some talk about even using antibiotics in labor. Some say, oh, you know, let us just check you and baby out, and then you can go home and we can wait for maybe 18 hours, 24 hours. Some have 48 hours, and some have 72 hours from the waters, wow, have broken.
Yeah.
So again, it depends on the care provider. And obviously, as well, no one can actually force you to do anything. So if you know your options, you know evidence, you know, you can chat to someone who do, then you can make an informed decision where maybe your hospital says, you know, we recommend that you are induced right away. And you say, actually, I want to wait 24 hours, or I want to wait 48. I want to see if I can crank on by myself. But again, this is something that, of course, you don't know if you're not a midwife or a doula or a birth worker, because we know all this stuff. Right. But, you know, the general person doesn't, right? And this leaves that gap of knowledge, and also that place where we then just trust our care providers, even though sometimes, unfortunately, you know, what we do to all women is not good for all women or all babies. And we need more of that personalized care where, you know, what do you need in this moment? And what do you want? You know, again, bring the power back to you. What do you want?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as the Pitocin dripped into my arm, tears just started rolling out of my eyes. And the nurse said, are you okay? And I said, yes, but I wasn't. And my husband really helped support me. And he said, you know, what's going on? And I said, I just feel like this birth I prepared for is slipping through my fingers. And I don't want to repeat what I had with my daughter. And he said, do you need an epidural right now? And I said, no. And he said, great. That's all we're going to do, is we're going to take it 1 minute at a time. And so he was just
I love your wonderful husband.
I did too. He's wonderful. Can we give him a
golden star for birth support?
Yes.
I love that.
Seriously.
That is the best answer, or the best advice anyone can ever give anyone in labor. We just take it one minute at a time, one contraction. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes. So as my contractions, and in hypnobirthing they use the word surges of power. So as these surges intensified, I just would breathe. And I remember early labor, just sitting up and, you know, imagining a hot air balloon blowing up these balloons for my toddler. And she was just so happy. And I was just really in the zone, and things started to crank up, and I was able to go in the tub, even though I had an IV, it was a hep lock, so I could keep my arm out. And so it was lovely. And I was able to labor in the tub for a while. And things got really, really intense. I felt a lot of rectal pressure. And so I stood up and went to the toilet, and I started pushing on the toilet. I saw blood going down my legs, and I told my husband, tell the nurse I have to poop. I don't know why in my head I knew what that meant, but I don't know why I didn't say I'm pushing a baby now. But he said, do you want me to tell the nurse you have to poop? Yes. Yes. He was confused. Why do you want the nurse to watch you poop? But it was baby time. Yes. So then, going from the toilet to the bed, he had been posterior, but he turned, and I was able to deliver him not posterior. That really made a huge difference on my back. As soon as he turned, I could feel that he had turned.
You would feel like, that,
good boy,
yeah.
Good boy.
That's amazing, that point, though. So you were actually laboring with a posterior baby with Pitocin or oxytocin, depending on which country. And that is some warrior woman you are. Like, that is having the drift.
It was not easy.
And not even having started labor yourself, that's a cold start. Is one of the most painful ways of starting labor, because you have none of your own beautiful hormones that are pain relieving and giving you all this loving, bonding, amazing euphoric feelings. You don't have that kicking in for you. You just have this synthetic one that doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier, doesn't make you all lovey-dovey and, you know, kind of transcendent. You don't have that. You just have the massive, powerful surges that comes from that drip. So, wow.
Yes. Yes. Wow, and my husband was so helpful with the counter pressure. He was pushing my hips and my knees, and that helped a lot with the back labor. And at that point, when I was on the bed, I hadn't wanted to be on my back, but at that point, I just felt such fierce power. Like there's just no way I could have moved into any different position. So I kind of just did, you know, they directed me and I did what they had suggested. And I had just a couple stitches. Pushing was no work at all because my body did it. It was such a different experience than with my daughter pushing when they told me to, pushing till I was purple. And then with my son, it was just my body could not have stopped if everyone's life depended on it. It was so powerful, very powerful. Yeah. And then he was out, and it was just, I couldn't believe that he was here I had the birth that I wanted, except for the Pitocin aspect. But even that, I ended up at one point in the night, I remember talking to my IV pole, because every time I went to the bathroom, I had to push it over the lip of the bathroom, and it would create massive surges in my body. And so I remember saying, I have to stop hating you, because you are part of this with me and we are in it together. And I was trying to let my husband get some sleep so that he could help me during, you know, go time. And so that time it was just me and my IV pole, and we together embraced that this was a different birth, but also such a beautifully powerful birth as well. So
badass mother doing that.
Thank you.
Exterior and with that drip. That's amazing.
Thank you. And recovery, even though I had a small postpartum hemorrhage afterward, recovery was so much better than with my daughter. And I remember hopping in the shower a few hours after I delivered, and I just was like stunned. I couldn't believe it. I was like, there's my baby sleeping and I'm here, and I cannot believe that I just gave birth. I just can't believe it. So fast forwarding to this birth, my husband joked that I was more of a first-time mom the third time than the first time. And I said, hey, it's because I know what it takes now. I know that it is mighty, and I must prepare. It takes a lot of strength, and I don't want to be unprepared like I was.
I get goosebumps when you say that. Yeah, so true.
And so I really, we prepared for our, a long time. I got myself really healthy, exercising and eating healthily before we even started trying. And I got pregnant right away. And unfortunately I had a miscarriage, last August. It was an early miscarriage, about 6 weeks. Mm. But it was so heartbreaking for me, as I had never considered that happening to me. I don't know why it's really common, but I just had never considered it happening. So we told our children, and we were just so excited, and we had to explain to them what miscarriage was. And I'm so grateful that we had told them, because they are so, they're so loving to their little baby sister. And my daughter the other day said, we lost one, but you know, we have Charlotte, we have her, and we love her. And so she still brings it up, and it helped us all grow.
yeah. And it's beautiful to be able to share that, I think, really, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and that to make it the natural part that it actually is for a lot of women and a lot of families. Because it is, as you say, it actually is so common, and it's good that we talk about it and honor those souls that don't come through, but they come for a little visit, and you know, that they also are part of our life journey.
Definitely. Absolutely. And so when I became pregnant again, it took me a few months to emotionally get to a place of being brave enough to try again. And but after a couple months, we knew we wanted a baby. And so we tried again and got pregnant right away. And the hormones were much different this go around than the miscarriage. I could just feel that it was a stronger HCG surge in my body. I was sick pretty quick. And so I took that as a great sign that, you know, it's a good, healthy pregnancy. And anyway, so fast forwarding a bit, I was very consistent with bar workouts for pregnancy, which is Pilates mixed with a little bit of ballet, actually. So I really enjoyed that, and it helped my core and my back just become really, really strong. And I also had a birth ball, and I did all the things on the birth ball, and listened to your podcast, read a lot of books, and took another hypnobirthing course, this one online because coronavirus. So yes, did this online. But all of that educated me even further in terms of posture, and because I didn't want posterior. If I could help it, I know sometimes you just can't help it. Babies in whatever position he or she is in, but I wanted to maximize my chances. So I I never slouched on the couch. I never, you know, leaned back. I was on the birth ball a lot, or leaning forward, or on my side during, you know, TV in the evenings. And I ate dates starting at 36 weeks. I ate 3 medjool dates a day. And I really recommend doing that. There was a huge difference between my my births before the dates and after. And probably a lot of that is just the education that I had as well. But
yeah, that's amazing. I mean, that's actually, you know, good studies have been done on dates. It's really not just you know, an old wives' tale. There's really proper, massive, big studies, and plenty of them, that that proves that it has a great effect on preparing your uterus for labor and birth, and your shorter labors, less painful labors, and also assisting with the contractions and so on and so forth. So
yes, I had read those studies, and so decided, well, they're not my favorite food. I will give it a try and learn a lot of creative ways to eat them. And certainly we'll do that again for any other babies we may have in the future. So at fast forward to 40 weeks, 2 days. The week prior to that, my mom had flown in from Alaska. That's where she lives. And I hadn't seen her in a couple of years, actually. And so having her here at my house was just balm to my heart and soul. Mm. And we just shopped and went out to lunch and went swimming, and we just enjoyed that week together. And at 40 weeks, 2 days, I felt like, okay, my mom's here. Everything's good. I had refused pelvic exams up to that point. But at this point, I had an OB appointment, and I decided to see what was going on up there, and also request a stretch and sweep. Okay. Because my body had been contracting a lot for a couple of weeks prior to this, and my body was doing it, but my mom was also leaving in a week. And so I just thought, I don't want to, you know, be induced, but I also want to just maximize my chances once again. So decided I would request that. And the stretch and sweep was quick and not too bad, actually. But as soon as I left the office, I started having menstrual type cramps throughout the day. And I didn't think anything of them. I knew that was common, and a little spotting was common. And so I was just carrying on as usual. I went to lunch with my mom and I was very hungry, which was interesting because I had such a small appetite as the baby is getting bigger, bigger, bigger. And then that day I was just ravenously hungry. They gave us this huge plate of food, and I thought there's no way I would be able to eat it. And I ate every bite of it. And in hindsight, I realized my body was like, you need this for energy and nourishment. So the rest of that day was just so lovely. It was, I really felt, I learned a word, huga, comfort and coziness. And that's really the only way to describe that day. It was just so beautifully cozy. And on our way, we got home from lunch and shopping, and I had been holding onto the cart, and my mom was like, are you sure you want to keep going? I was like, yes, this is so much fun. And I would just kind of lean on the cart a little and feel those beautiful surges, because I had really not felt that with my other two births. Since I was everyone, I just like, thank you, body. Thank you. I just felt so grateful and excited to have these sensations in my body. And, that afternoon I decided I wanted to take my kids to the pool, and was like, let's go to the pool, guys. So I got in my suit and was walking out the door, and I started feeling some juicy discharge. And I said, just a minute. I went in, and it was the start of my mucus plug. And so I decided I had purchased adult diapers and incontinence pads because I had prepared for my waters breaking. Mm-hmm. I had also talked to my doctor as you had said earlier, I had talked to my doctor and said, okay, if my waters break, what do you recommend? And I talked to every single doctor in the practice because there were a lot of doctors. So I made sure I saw a different one each time because I wanted them all to be on board. And some of them said, you know, we recommend coming in right away. The doctor that my personal doctor said, pay attention to the baby's movements, really kind of tune into how she's acting and how you're feeling. And he said, I'm comfortable just having you, you know, labor at home for a while and until you feel like, you know what, it's time. So I appreciated that so much that he had said that before. And so with my adult diaper on, we went to the pool, obviously, and a little skirt. I had my swim top on and my adult diaper on the bottom with the skirt. And we just went to the pool and I just sat poolside and watched my kids splash and they would just splash my feet. And I felt so happy. And, these contractions would just come. And every time I was just like, thank you, thank you. And I just felt so much happiness. And after the pool that night, I just said, let's have ice cream instead of dinner. And I am not that person that like does that. I'm very health conscious. I like, I make my kids eat their vegetables. But that night I just was like, let's have a big fat ice cream cone. And the kids like screamed and they were so excited. And so we got this fat ice cream cone. Everybody had one. We took it to this little park with a fountain and it was just, the sun was setting. And I just remember wanting to freeze time. And in fact, my five-year-old said, Mom, can we get a picture? Let's get a picture of our family. So my mom took a picture of us, of the four of us on that beautiful, sunset moment. And now it's just a beautiful treasure. That was our last picture as a family of four and our last moment. I absolutely love the rain and living in Phoenix, we don't get much of it. But that night after I put my children to bed and my daughter felt her sister kick for the last time, I started seeing like the clouds kind of roll in. And I asked my mom, are we supposed to get rain tonight? Because it's something I had actually visualized and hoped for. I was like, wouldn't that be cool? Monsoon season is about July, August for us. And so I thought, wouldn't that be lovely to just have a big, delicious summer storm? I would just love that. And she said, unfortunately, no, it says a 0% chance. And I was like, okay, well, that's all right. So after the kids are in bed, my water officially broke at that point. And the rain started. It just came down and poured. And I went outside and I just put my hands out and looked to the sky and I just prayed to God, thank you for sending this beautiful rain. And my mom, I didn't know this at the time, but she actually took a picture of me with my face up to the sky and loving the rain. And that whole evening was just so happy. And I did not frantically clean my house. I wanted to get that oxytocin going. So I told my husband, I want to have a bath, but I don't want to have a bath too early. And he said, you know, the great thing about baths are you can have like a lot of them. So go for it. And so I got some dark chocolate and candles and I just had a bath. And we watched a comedian with my mom and my husband and we were just having the best night and just laughing. Every time I would laugh, I would get another surge and they started getting stronger and stronger. And I thought, I wonder, because nothing was consistent, you know, nothing timeable. And I just said, you know what, I'm just going to really trust myself here and say, I think I want to sleep. And so I went to sleep. And this was probably around 10:30 and my husband came, you know, to bed and we just went to sleep. And about 11:40, I had to use the bathroom. I had, you know, the massive bowel clean out and I had some blood tinged mucus at that point. But again, nothing, the surges would come once in a while, but nothing too consistent either. So I was like, oh, I'm going back to sleep. So I went back to sleep, listening to my little hypnobirthing relaxation tracks. And I thought, well, you know, something will happen within the next little while, but I just wasn't too worried. And at 1:43, I remember waking up to the most powerful sensation I have ever experienced. And it was mighty. The surge was just boom, it just woke me from a dead sleep. And I stumbled into the bathroom, had to use the bathroom again. And I had about three back to back as I was using the bathroom. So I came out and told my husband, please wake up and, you know, help me. I think we need to start timing these. And again, since I hadn't really ever gone into official labor before, I didn't know what I was feeling. I thought, wow, this is really different from what I expected early labor to feel like, but that's all right. Here we go. And so he timed a few of them and he said, Jamie, they're like a minute and a half apart. Like, we have to go. We have to go now.
Do you want a natural birth, Mama? Then the natural birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? Are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready, body, mind, and soul? Do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth? Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
So I was trying to keep my wits about me as I'm gathering a few items. Luckily, I had my bags packed, but not in the car, you know, not in the van or anything. But I was trying to gather some things. And I remember at one point my husband said, Jamie, why aren't you wearing pants? We have to get in the van. We have to go. And I was like, I remember thinking, what a silly thing that he cares about pants. Like, why does that? I was so primal at that point and so in my birthing body that I just thought, how ridiculous to want to wear pants. And now I'm so grateful he had me put on pants. At that point, I was also not speaking in very clear sentences. I remember telling him skirt, closet. And he ran up and grabbed me a skirt from the closet, but that's about all I could say. As we got into the car, I really didn't know how I was going to do the drive to the hospital. But I put on my headphones and I put on this relaxation track. The title of it was an anchor to calm. And so in the bathtub, I had anchored, which is just really cemented in a happy memory. And so I had done that with our day, our beautiful day that we had had. And so as we were driving to the hospital and I was listening to that, I was just remembering our day. And honestly, that was the most tranquil part of it for me, was that drive, which surprised me. I thought, wow, this is great. It was still intense. I started feeling a lot of rectal and tailbone pressure at that point, but I still felt peaceful and I was able to sit upright with the seatbelt on. I joked with my husband, I'm just going to sit in the back and wave my, you know, this was before I went into labor. And he was like, no, you are going to be in a seatbelt. You're going to be safe. So on our way out though, I asked my husband, I said, grocery bags. And because I started feeling a little queasy, a little gross. And so he grabbed some grocery bags and that was very, very handy, as a few minutes down the road, I started just becoming very sick. And I threw up about six times in those bags. And at that point, my husband really started to speed on his way to the hospital. And in my mind, I had done all the reading. I had done all the preparation. I thought to myself, this seems like transition, but yes. I just could not believe it. I couldn't believe it because it was so fast. I just was like, no, this just must be, I don't know what's going on, but it's not transition. Mm. Like I just knew in my head it was, but I couldn't
comprehend
that.
It. Yeah. No, this is it the was thing, just... though, when the water breaks, you know, this is the thing. It can go really quickly all of a sudden. And it's your third baby. So, you know, your channel is wide open, right? And yeah. How many years was it between your second and your third?
Five. Yeah,
okay.
Five
years. It's a good break though. Yeah, but you never know. The third one is the joker. It always is. I really know what's going to happen with them.
Yes, totally. So as we, I also had I had an eye mask on to just keep myself focused. And love so I my eye mask and my headphones, and I brilliant. Was just really in the zone, and my barf bag. And so we arrived to the hospital parking lot, and I just remember the car stopping. So I peeked out of my mask and I said, oh, good job. I remember I said, oh, honey, you got us here so fast. And he was like, that was the longest drive of my life. I can't believe that was fast for you. So I went to go and throw my sick bag away, and there was a light post, and I just leaned against that light post for a very mighty, mighty contraction, very tailbone rectal pressure at that point. And somebody came with and offered us a wheelchair, and I just sat, and I didn't talk to anyone, and I just kept my eye mask on, and I just trusted that my husband would tell them everything that we needed to know. And we got there and I realized I didn't have my wallet. I didn't have my ID. I didn't have anything that way. But I did have a skirt on. So there's that. But I was grateful that I had registered with the hospital prior to this because they got us in no problem. But I remember my husband answering the questions. And I would just kind of surface when I felt that they needed me to, or when I felt the need to advocate for myself. At one point they wanted me to get on the scale and weigh me. And I said, no, I just said, no. And they said, well, we really need to know what you weighed before. And so I told them and then said, well, what do you weigh now? And I said, my appointment yesterday, they weighed me. And so I told them that number. And then they said, well, we need you to sit on this pad to confirm your membranes have ruptured. And I just said, trust me, they have. in my mind, I was like, there is no way I can move and get on this pad. And I just said, trust me. And I do remember them saying, we're just going to take you back to examine you. And they told my husband, you can wait here. And I said, no. That's when I really first surfaced and I said, no, I need you, Travis. I need you. And I reached up for his hand and I said, where are you? And he grabbed my hand. And so that is actually why he came back. And I'm so grateful that I was able to surface enough to say, he is staying with me. He is right here. And I'm glad he would have missed the birth.
Yeah. So love it, Jamie. I just really want to say that, like, everyone listening, you know, who goes into an American hospital, advocate for yourself. Like, that was awesome. I love what you just did there. And that shows, right? They listened, right? You had a voice.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to speak up and you have to be clear what you want. Yay!
Absolutely.
Celebration. Yes. So excited to hear the rest.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was just that moment. Prior to this, I had actually had a dream that I was in a tunnel and I kept losing my husband. And I just felt I had all of the laundry. I was carrying bags of laundry and I couldn't find my husband. And I was just panicked. Where's my husband? And in that moment, when she said, we'll call you back, I just like, I can't have him not here. It was unthinkable to me. And in hindsight, I know I was minutes from delivering at this point. And I didn't know that I was minutes. I didn't know, but I'm just really grateful I trusted in my voice and that I had a voice, which comes from education. It just came from research and doing the hard work before, you know, this point. And at this point, I really just, I felt like they were all kind of buzzing flies. I just wanted to shoo them all away. And I just wanted to be with me and my husband. I just kind of felt like, stop asking me questions. But they didn't know what I was feeling. I was breathing deeply, and I was circling my wrists for whatever reason. Circling my wrists really gave me a lot of peace. So I was just breathing and kind of going side to side and circling my wrists. And they didn't know the intense feelings I was having. They asked me to change into this gown, and my husband was trying, but it was like one of the breastfeeding gowns. So it was like, it was so weird. There was holes in the front. He's like, I don't know how to do this. And I didn't care. I was like, let's just take it all off. I do not care about modesty at this point. I do not care. And I did say, I need a bathroom. Like, I need a toilet. And I said, can I use the toilet? And the nurse said, that depends. Are you going to use the toilet, or are you going to have a baby? And I said, I'm going to use the toilet. So she said, okay. So she left, and I sat on the toilet, and my husband said, Jamie, are you pushing? And I was like, no. Yes. I'm pushing. And so he called the nurses in. She's pushing. This happened with our second baby too. She's pushing on the toilet. And at that point, later on, he told me he just felt so alone trying to get this gown on me. I'm so out of it. And I'm just pushing on this toilet. Nobody else is in there with us. And so at that point, it got, you know, dramatic as everyone's rushing in and trying to get me on this bed, because I was still in triage at this point. I arrived at the hospital at 3:03 in the morning, and they got me onto the bed somehow, and they wanted me on my back. And I said, no, not my back, not my back. And so I went to my side. And so at that point, I felt myself splitting in half at that point. And I remember telling myself, you're not splitting, you're opening. Mm-hmm. You're opening for your baby, you're not splitting. Mm-hmm. And a nurse was holding my leg up, and I just was, my body was doing it again. It was pushing. And at this point, I still could not believe it, because we had just arrived at the hospital, and I just thought, there's no way this could be happening so fast, but I feel it happening so fast. And I pushed, and my body pushed rather. And I think it was like one or two maybe. And she was out and on my chest. And well, I hurt not quite my chest. My cord wasn't quite long enough. So she was like almost to my chest. And I was in shock. I could not believe it. She was born at 3:11. Wow. So we got there at 3:03, and she was born at 3:11. And so, yes, if my husband had not been there they wanted to examine me before putting me on my side as well. And I didn't want to know the number, because I thought, if I am like a two at this point, I'm going to, you know, it's going to get in my head, you know. And so my husband said the nurse's eyes got massive, and she just held up 10 fingers, and then the whole team rushed in. And then she said, Jamie, you will not be disappointed if I tell you how dilated you are. And so he's like, am I complete? Like, yes, you are. And the baby is coming. But that, yeah, it was so lovely. And I had requested to see the placenta. So it was really only a couple of minutes after my daughter came out that the placenta delivered the placenta very quickly. It was just a very tiny push and it was out. And afterward, they gave me a really great tour of the beautiful placenta. They were telling me and my husband about, you know, this is the side the baby was on. And they were just really kind of explaining all about the placenta, which I had never given a second thought. I hate to say this, but I had never thought about the placenta before listening to your beautiful podcast and the respect that your mamas show it, and the respect that it deserves as being the baby's first home. And that was very cool. And it was a great education for me as well. I didn't take it home or anything, but I did just wanted to thank it and, you know, honor it as the baby's first home. And I asked my husband to take a picture of it. And so that was just a lovely part of it. And once the baby's cord, her name is Charlotte. So once the cord stopped pulsing, then they clamped. And I did have, unfortunately, another postpartum hemorrhage. So they, at that point, I had also refused. I had refused an IV because they were trying to put an IV in as I was pushing. And I just said, no, no, leave me alone, everybody. I just want to push this baby up. And so at that point, they asked again, can we please place an IV? Because we're seeing some hemorrhaging, and I could feel the the fullness that I felt with my son, and I could feel the clots coming out. And so at that point I said, yes, you know, you can place it now that I'm not pushing and now that I feel that there is more of a need. So they gave me 2 bags of Pitocin and 5 Cytotec pills in my gums, as well as a Pitocin injection in my thigh. And so that was the hardest part of the whole thing, honestly, was the pushing of my stomach and all the cramping associated with that. But after a couple of hours, then we were able to go to the maternity room. And I just, the whole day, I really could not even believe that it had happened. It took me a long time to realize my story is over. Like, it has happened and she's here. And I just couldn't stop smiling, but I did follow your advice. And I saved writing her birth story and responding to texts. And I slept when I could, as much as you can in a hospital, as people are coming in and wanting to do all the checks. But I definitely had to mentally tell myself, rest now, and all of that can happen later, because you feel that euphoria. And I could hear your voice in my head, Anna, saying, rest. Do not get too excited. You need to rest. And so I did. I followed your advice and I rested.
That makes me happy.
Yes. But it was such a beautiful, just such a beautiful experience, and very empowering. And I felt listened to. And that was one of my biggest fears throughout this whole thing, is I did not want to be dismissed. I was okay if interventions had to happen. I just needed to choose them. Mm. I needed to grant permission.
Yeah.
And so the fact that I was able to have my permission granted for everything that happened was the most beautiful thing. And it was very empowering. And it also put me on the same team as the hospital staff, which I think sometimes it feels like natural birthing has to feel, you know, oppositional, and that's not the case. It doesn't have to. Sometimes it unfortunately is that way, but it doesn't have to be that way. And I had written I had brought thank you cards for the staff and for the nurses and doctors, and just chocolates and lotions. And in that, I made sure I thanked them for letting me deliver on my side and for listening to me, because I want future women to have more understanding staff. Mm. And when a woman says, no, don't weigh me right now, I want them to say, okay, well, maybe she's further along than we think she is. Maybe we need to get out of her way and let her do her thing. And I just really wanted to help that path paving a bit, but doing it in a gentle way by thank you for letting me refused the IV until I had delivered, because she was literally coming out at that point. So it was really an empowering experience to have that natural birth in a hospital without a doula. She wouldn't have made it in time. But that was another thing that I was torn about, like, oh, should I get a doula? But my husband is so capable and wonderful. And so I felt that we would be okay without. But if maybe other women don't have that same support, I know that a doula, midwife's like invaluable in those cases. But there's not one size that fits all when it comes to birth.
No, and I love having women just like yourself who do have an empowering birth story in the hospital system, because of course they happen, and there's amazing staff in the hospitals too. And there are, I've had beautiful midwives write to me from the US who listened to this podcast, saying that listening to this podcast makes them want to be offering more of that essence into the hospital system, and they get inspired. So they're there and they want to change the system. And the way we change the system is just what you just said. It's actually the mamas and the papas giving feedback, telling both the good and the bad, like actually daring to do that. That is what changes things. And you know, because a lot of the times, maybe if you've gone through a birth well, most of the time you don't even think about maybe sending that feedback, or, you know, whether it was good or bad. You know, you might send a thank you note, but actually taking the time and telling them why it was so good, or why it was bad, or why it was anything, it does have an impact. It definitely impacts me when women share with me what has helped them, or if something hasn't, you know, but it really does affect us working with you guys as well, and improves our practice and increases our understanding as well. So it's great that you did that. And they probably will think next time when a mama of already, you know, a third time mama comes in and she seems contracting once, you know, every second minute or every minute, and she's very like quiet and focused, I wouldn't really want to weigh her or do any kind of suggest that, you know, it would be very obvious to a trained eye that you were very much into labor land, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah, those are the things when sometimes people can get a bit blind on, this is the procedures we do, or this is what we follow, and they forget to open their eyes and go, okay, here's a unique situation, a unique mama.
Yes.
What does she need? What do I need to do right now for her? Not, I need to tick these boxes, because sometimes those boxes are in the way and they make trouble.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And they were all just very stunned when they did the exam. They were just, they were speechless. They could not believe it. And once they told me, yes, you're complete, we're pushing this baby out now. And one of the nurses said, you are really in the zone, mama. I cannot believe that you're complete. Like they were flabbergasted. And I was a bit flabbergasted too, but I was also feeling the intensity. I thought, there's no way I'm going to stand on a scale. There's no way I can stand. Get out of my way and let me get on all fours and let me very primally just push this baby out.
Absolutely. And I want to talk a little bit too, you know, you mentioned that you had a bleed with your second and with your third. I mean, this is something that maybe a first-time mama can be a bit nervous about. Is she going to bleed? Is she not going to bleed? And I just want to talk a little bit about different reasons to why that could be. So for example, when you do take synthetic oxytocin, so the Pitocin you say in America, that a risk factor is actually to have a bleed from doing that, because of the intensity of the uterus having to contract artificially. So that is one of the risk factors with actually doing the drip. So that could potentially be a reason to why you had it the first time, for example. For your third one, you had a really, what we call precipitous birth, right? It was very quick. There's also a risk factor with that, right? So that in that case, your uterus was probably also a bit stunned how quickly, you know, she pushed that baby out, because it's the uterus doing it, right? It's your beautiful, amazing, magical womb just going, you know, and that is also a thing. So when you have a really quick birth, sometimes the body goes into a bit of shock and your womb goes, whoa, you know, okay, baby's out. Oh, I'm going to relax now. and she relaxes a bit too much, and there might be a bit of clot formation, or, you know, not, you know, so, and this is the thing, 70% of the reasons why a woman does have a bit of a bleed after birth, more than maybe we want to, is because the uterus is tired. So it sounds to me that it could potentially be tired because you had a drip first time and you had a really quick bath the second time. That could be a reason. We briefly mentioned this actually before we started the recording, but actually drinking raspberry leaf tea can be a great way of helping naturally through herbs tone your uterus. It's a uterine tonic, it's called. I actually just had an interview today with a naturopath, and I'll be airing that episode some point this season. And she mentioned that, and that's something that we mentioned to women as midwives, but that is a tonic that you can take from the second trimester, which it can really help tone the uterus, which helps also potentially lower the risk for a bigger bleed. But, you know, sometimes nature does that. And also, I mean, you know, we have standards of, okay, when you bleed this much, then we call it a hemorrhage. But then it's also so dependent on the woman, isn't it? You know, some women come in and they're maybe really anemic. And some come in and they're really, you know, well nurtured, and they have high, you know, ferritin and hemoglobin, and just the iron is a good level in their bodies, and they can handle maybe a bigger bleed naturally and maybe didn't even need intervention. And some can barely handle anything. And so again, you know, eating well and preparing for pregnancy and birth is a great way to also prevent potential bleeding. So just thank you for mentioning that, because then I can tell women this, and, you know, it's a perfect opportunity for me to inform some.
Yeah, it's very helpful. I guess I need to have another baby so I can do the raspberry leaf tea. Fourth time is the charm.
Yes, and then you come on and tell us about it.
That's right.
Yeah. And other ways of, you know, really minimizing that risk in the kind of, you know, in the aftermath of birth is to stay in your love bubble, you know, and keeping the oxytocin high. And how do we do that? You know, we have low lights, we don't have lots of people in the room, we have minimal people, minimal disturbance, just you and the baby and maybe your partner, and, you know, just doing all that lovey-dovey stuff. So in any environment, if you can create that, that'll also help prevent bleeding.
Perfect.
Beautiful. What an amazing birth story and birth stories. If you had a first-time mama in front of you right now who's about to have her first baby and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice and pearls of wisdom do you have for her?
I would say our bodies are definitely made for this. And as you educate yourself, you can really make a difference in your outcome. And especially if you, I guess any mama, but sometimes, you know, we feel like, well, I live in this area with these resources, or I don't have that access to me. And so it's easy to say, well, that can't be my story because of XYZ. But really, I would say it's a lot more mental than anything else. And your story can be beautiful, even if you don't have the resources at your fingertips that other people have. And you just have to prepare for it. It's absolutely essential to prepare for it. I prepared every single day. And even in postpartum, I had never seen the postpartum period as something to be protected until I started researching natural birth and listening to your podcast. And I know even in the beginning of your podcast, you say a nourishing and healing postpartum is essential. And I really had just tried to do it all in previous births. And this time I told my husband before, I said, I'm going to be different this time. I'm going to be in pajamas and robes, and I'm going to be like, I'm going to like relax. I have my tea and the baby, and we'll just breastfeed and hang out and sleep. And he was just like, all right, sounds good. And I'm really blessed in that he has had 8 weeks of paid paternity leave, which is, I know, so rare, at least in the US, to have that access to your support person, your partner. But I'm grateful for that, because I don't feel bad having him burp her in the middle of the night, as you know, because he's not working right now. And so I can you know, have him help that burden. And before him back at work the week after, I felt like, well, I can't wake him up because he needs to be with it at work. So then I'm just going to do it all. But we all, I think it's important, going back to the pearls of wisdom question, just use those resources, get help. If you don't have your, you know, spouse, or then get a postpartum doula, or ask neighbors or friends or extended family, but you will need help. You're very vulnerable at this point of your life. So get that support, get that education, and your outcome will be beautiful.
I love that. Do you feel the difference now compared to your previous postpartums?
Oh, so much, so much. And it's interesting because I've been getting a lot of feedback with, wow, I can't believe how great you look. I can't believe, like, did you even have a baby? Like those kind of questions. And I have been eating whatever the heck I want, but I've also just been feeling so loved and so nurtured and so taken care of that I don't need to reach for the crap food. And so I think that it's just naturally a way of helping, you know, the uterus get back to normal size and helping everything, you know, plenty of breast milk and all of that, because you're nourished and you're supported. And so mentally, I just feel happy. I just feel in that love bubble still, and just happy and grateful.
Yeah, you do glow. And I think you're really saying a key word there, love. You know, we need to love our new mothers.
And yes, yes.
And mothers need to love themselves to also ask for that, to ask for the love and the nourishment and the support. Because we would have had that 100 years ago. We would have had that by our mothers and our grandmothers and our sisters and our aunties and all of it around us. And we've created a very strange society where that is not the norm anymore. And so, you know, our DNA knows that that's normal. You know, we're supposed to. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. And it's just been so sweet. Like friends that just say, I'm bringing you dinner tonight. You know, are you craving anything? Or can I bring a present for baby Charlotte? And just like little, just the sweetest things. And it helps me realize when other women I know and love have babies, you know, just instead of, hey, how can I help? Just, I'm bringing you dinner and I'm bringing it on Wednesday. You know, what do you want? And I'll bring it to you. And because as mamas, sometimes we feel like, no, I don't want to accept. I don't want to inconvenience people. I definitely hate inconveniencing people. But if someone says I'm doing this, gosh, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that they do. And I, you know, you feel that extra love from and for them as they make those sacrifices to make you feel loved.
Oh, thank you so much, Jamie, for coming on the podcast. It's been such a pleasure hearing your birth stories.
Been talking to you. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please share it. Grade it on iTunes and leave a comment. If you want to connect on social media, you can find me on Facebook as The Spiritual Midwife or on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Thank you for listening.